I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world, eh? I'm on top of the world, eh? Waiting on this for a while now. Paying my dues to the dirt.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to JJ's Football Fix, your home of everything A-League for this week. This is the A-League Hour, returning for episode 4 for the season. My name is Jordan Gifkins, and I am joined by Jake White. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Jordan?
Absolutely fantastic on this wondrous Tuesday afternoon. It's always good to be here on a Tuesday, speaking about all things A-League and all things that are not currently A-League, which we will be going into a little bit later. With the expansion and the promotion relegation talk, the whole topic that's been surrounding the A-League for some time now, and we'll definitely be going in-depth on that. We've got quite an opinion on it. I know you do. I know that you do.
you do as well, so yep.
We've got a slightly shorter review this week, considering Jake's know-all about Melbourne Victory was spot on, and the Melbourne Victory game got postponed against Wellington Phoenix, so we won't have to go into talk about them. I do want to apologise early here, Jake. I have woken up with a little bit of a gnarly voice and a runny nose and a bit of a sneeze or a cough, whatever, so it'll probably sound a little bit different this week, but not to be the must show. I don't know what I'm saying. The show must go on.
Not to be the must potato.
In this potato. We will start off with the normal review of the week's fixtures. And it was a pretty interesting week. There was a couple of interesting results, most notably Sydney, but we will get into that in a minute. We will start on Friday night with Western Sydney Wanderers hosting Melbourne City. And this was quite a controversial game, Jake, just to say the least. Western Sydney Wanderers, I think they're still aiming for their first win at Spotless Stadium, if I'm not mistaken. They hosted Melbourne City. Tim Cahill opened the scoring in the 55th minute. Controversially opened the scoring, I might add, because it should have been a goal before, but we'll get into that in a minute. Him not going to Socceroos duties. He came back refreshed and ready to go. And he scored. Not the prettiest goal, but a goal is a goal. And he was in the right position at the right time, Jake. Before Lachlan Scott, in the 92nd minute for Western Sydney, of all players, did score. I don't even know who Lachlan Scott is. I think he's just a young player, probably.
No idea.
But Jake, the main talking point from this game, and arguably the talking point of the round, and probably the A-League season so far, Karem Bullitt. He was not offside, was he?
He wasn't, not at all. He ended up about 5 rows back in the RBV, but that's about it.
Yeah.
I really want to say, your mate from the Victory versus Western Sydney game. It cost you a good $150.
Yeah, well, yeah, best mate for sure. But he's, for those who didn't watch the game, he's clearly onside. He's been played through with an absolute ton of space, about 18 yards out. Clearly onside. He's taken a
nice
touch
finish,
and he's put it into the bottom right hand corner, and he's run off into the RBB celebrating before realizing that the goal was called back for offside. So replay showed he was definitely onside. Sparked a lot of controversy. Tim Cahill went on to score to take the lead for Melbourne City, and Western Sydney escaped with a point through Lachlan Scott late on. But it just goes to show, and it's just another example that we didn't need in the A-League, that the refereeing and the linesmen are just not up to scratch, are they, Jake?
Oh, going about it all day, really. We don't really want to have another referee debate, but it's 3 weeks in a row, really. Like, there was the Victory incident where Carnahan balled it, and then there was Austin last week who was onside and got called back, and now there's this one, and there was other ones during the week as well with the drama in the Sydney game as well. Just doesn't stop, does
and
it?
The refereeing in last week's Western Sydney Victory game, when not sure who went down for Western Sydney, but definitely
Gary two-footed someone.
So
it just does not stop at all.
And it's almost just making the A-League look like the biggest joke, isn't it? Because the referees, it is every week, and the referees, they need to be better than that. And if I don't know how many people are at the game, but if 15,000 people can see the decision, like what it should be, and then you've got the referee sitting there like, no, that's not right, when 15,000 people around him are thinking that he's got it wrong and he's the only one that's got it wrong. It's like, no, I just don't get it. I don't understand.
It's costing teams points, because if you look into it, what if Western Sydney missed the finals by 2 points?
Yeah, exactly.
I know that that's like worst case scenario for when you look at into these situations, but when you think about it realistically, and what if Victory missed the finals by 1 point, or miss out on finishing in the top two by 1 point when Carney handballed it a few weeks ago? Like, it's just, I don't want to go into another referee debate, but it's just so frustrating.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll end up having another conversation about referees in 2 games' time as well.
Hmm. On the basis of statistics, it was a quite even game. Neither team really looked like winning the game, in all honesty. But at the end of the day, like, a point was probably a fair result, but at the same time, Western Sydney probably feel a little hard done by not getting the win. In other news regarding that game, Popovich came out after and said he wants to be the world's best coach. So after we talked 2 weeks ago about him getting sacked, he now wants to be the world's best coach. So I don't know what you want to read into that. Obviously, all coaches aspire to be the best they can be. And if he thinks the best he can be is the world's best, then good on him. I don't think it's going to happen. But at the same time, if he does become the world's best coach, I'm sure it's going to be good for Australian football, maybe, if he takes the reins of the national team. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully not for a while, because Postecoglou is still pretty good, but we won't go into Socceroos talk, because that will just rile me up even more. But we move on to the next game on Friday night, the late game. Didn't start till like 10 p.m. here or something like that. It was crazy. Perth Glory 3, Adelaide United 1. Adelaide actually took the lead. Joshy Risden scored a goal for the wrong team. before Roston Griffith scored a long-range belter in the 25th minute. Andy Keogh controversially scored in the 67th minute after looked like he blatantly fouled Galekovic, before scoring in the 95th minute and putting the icing on the cake on the counter-attack. I'm pretty sure it's got a header, actually. I'm not too sure. But it was a counter-attacking goal. Perth Glory were all money for their win. Didn't win the possession count, but certainly had statistically more shots and more attacks. more balls in the area and all that snazzy stuff. But Adelaide United really finding it tough this season, Jake, and I can't see when they're going to turn this around.
I can't either, if I'm honest. Because they've got Sydney away this week. So it doesn't get much easier for them. I'm pretty sure I got, looking at the games, I'm pretty sure I got 4 from 4 in the tips this week. So I can't complain with that. And, well, I tip Perth for a reason. Because Adelaide are trash so far this year. I don't really know what to say all that much. I think there was another, I don't want to get into a refs conversation, but there was another controversial moment in this game, as you said, with Keogh's goal. But at the end of the day, it didn't really cost Adelaide the points in the end. But it would have been good. It would have been good banter to see them go down 2-1 for like the fifth time this season. Especially if Keogh scored in the 95th minute, if he counted as a winner. But it doesn't really surprise me all that much.
Young Jordan O'Doherty got himself sent off with 2 yellows and decided to bash a wall, a brick wall for that matter.
Yeah, not even a wall, just a fucking, he's pounded into the brick wall.
So he's stuffed up on two fronts here. I didn't see the first yellow card, but I saw the second, and if he was already on a yellow, he's definitely off the pitch. So
I didn't see the first either, but the second yellow was definitely a yellow card offence.
Gee, we have a lot of refereeing discussion points this week. as you said,
there was 9 yellow cards in that game. Fucking hell!
Andy Keogh's second goal was but the second goal for Perth was controversial and arguably should have been taken away from Perth. But it is what it is, and they end up winning 3-1, and they're enjoying a very good season so far, Perth. So always a tough team to go over and verse. So They're doing a good thing this season in their performances. I don't know what I'm saying. Moving on to we won't talk about Wellington victory because that was postponed. We might have some news in like a few months when that's going to be played. the game on Saturday night, Brisbane Roar versus Sydney FC. Sydney took the lead through a Brillante strike. Jeez. Oh, that was that's goal of the season so far, 100%. You can't hit a ball any better than that. I was going nuts when I saw that. That was crazy. The 13th.
Brillante.
A Brillante goal. before Christensen scored for Brisbane Roar in the 40th minute. Also a very yeah, nice goal. Really good finish. That's how it ended 1-1. Sydney dropping their first points of the season in a really hotly contested game. Jake, it was, I mentioned how there was a few referee talking points from this one as well. Ryan Grant, what was your take?
Well, in my opinion, he should have been sent off because you can't pull a yellow card out of your pocket and have it sitting there, change hands and all that stuff, and then wait for the replay to come up the big screen. Like, I know realistically it wasn't a yellow card offence, but you can't bring a yellow card out of your pocket, change hands and all that stuff, and leave it in your hand for, like, 20 seconds and wait for the replay to come onto the big screen while there's a melee in front of you happening.
Yeah.
So, realistically, if you bring it out of your pocket, it's a yellow card. I was surprised, and 20,000 people in the stadium were surprised, and everyone watching at home was surprised that Ryan Grant was still on the pitch. John Aloisi was surprised, and Graham Arnold was surprised.
Mm.
Even Graham Arnold, his manager, thought he was
sent off. I saw his reaction. He's just like, he doesn't know what's going on and stuff like that. You could tell he had no idea.
Like I said, I do not want to get into a referee discussion, but it's an absolute shambles right now. And it's embarrassing for the league, really, because every single week there's a talking point on referees. And Simon Hill said yesterday on Fox Sports News that the managers don't help the situation either, because there's fans that are throwing stuff at referees after games while they're getting taken off the ground and stuff like that. And the managers aren't helping the situation because the managers are getting so pissed off at the situation. Like, Amore against Perth, Amore seems like one of the most calm managers in the world, and then he gets sent to the stand.
Mm.
And John Aloisi's spending 5 minutes absolutely screaming the fourth official's ear down. Rightly so. Like, I thought he was sent off as well. And then, like, as much as I love him, Kevin Muscat chews the fourth official's ear off every single game as well. So the managers don't help the situation either. And it just fuels up the whole crowd, which can create a good theatre and stuff like that. But it's just the referees are an absolute shambles, considering they're apparently meant to be full-time.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, like we've said, every single week we're getting new talking points, and this week we got 3 in 4 games, so...
No, but can't take away anything from the game. It was a great game, I reckon it was game of the round. Sydney should have been up about 4-0 before Brisbane scored their first goal.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think the second half was a very even half, so there was 1-1 at half time, and then it was a very even half in the second half, so at the end of the day... Game probably ended up deserving a draw.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that. I'm going to probably say the same. I think it would have been game of the round. It was probably the tightest affair, and it was good to see two very good teams in the league, and for once Sydney dropping points, and probably deservedly dropping points as well. So Brisbane certainly deserved something from that game, and they got it. Moving on to the last game of the round, the F3 Derby. Newcastle Jets at home to Central Coast Mariners. A pretty good turnout for this game. I'm not sure exactly on the figure, but they did get a fair crowd there, which was a bit surprising for a Newcastle home game. Central Coast taking a fair few supporters down, which was good to see. Jake McGing, of all players, opened the scoring in the first half of a set piece, which was very poorly defended by Newcastle, before Nordstrand scored in the 64th minute to give Newcastle a lifeline after a fantastic through ball from Andrew Nabu, who's really having a genuinely good season this season. Other key things that happened, and probably most key thing, would have been the red card to Liam Rose just after Nordstrom scored, which completely turned the game on its head. You could tell in the first half that Newcastle were being pretty lazy. They were losing the ball in the defence. They weren't really paying much attention to their passes. Their work rate was poor. And the same could be said for probably Brisbane as well against Sydney in the first half. They were just a bit lethargic in defence and they just couldn't hit a target out of the defence and the pressure was too much. But the second half by Newcastle was absolutely off chops, I reckon. they were already the better team at the start of the second half, and then they scored the goal, and then Central Coast went a man down, and from then it was all Newcastle. They realistically should have won the game if it wasn't for Paul Izzo having his best game of the season, and probably in a long time, and certainly silencing some of the haters. It would have definitely been a different result. Jake, I think you watched this game. I'm not too sure.
Yeah.
This one probably up there, not in terms of quality as Brisbane and Sydney, but probably up there with close to being the better game of the round.
Yeah, I enjoyed it because I was saying pre-game, and I think I said last week, I'm not too sure, about the F3 derby, how I don't like watching the F3 derbies all that much anymore because of how good it was back in season 1, 2, and 3, and 4. Like, it used to be Mariners fans or Newcastle fans taking 3,000 to 4,000 people away from home, and it used to be a great game. And I think this is the first time in about 6 seasons that I've actually felt like that. It was a good game of football. Both teams are playing fearless football. Paul Orrecon's got Central Coast playing good attacking football and also starting to slowly sew up their defence. So, you know, they haven't kept a clean sheet in like 35 games now, I think it is, or 36. And Newcastle played well as well. Like you said, Newcastle probably should have definitely won the game, but I was just happy to see so many Mariners fans there, and I think the crowd was like 12,000 or 13,000, which is a good crowd, and that's also made Newcastle the 7th team that have got an average over 10,000 in for the season so far, which is pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
That's really good. Compared to a lot of other seasons, that's a big step up.
And considering one of those teams isn't Melbourne City as well, you'd think Melbourne City probably should be averaging around 10,000 too. Hopefully that'll make it 8 teams as well. So that's pretty good.
So who's
that's
left? Pretty good. Wellington and... And
yeah, Wellington and Mariners.
Yeah.
But this is probably the most well-supported A-League season so far, which is I'm really happy to see, and I was really really happy to see so many Mariners fans there. And Newcastle's always been a big football city. Like they've had some absolutely horrendous seasons in the past, and they've always turned up. They've always had roughly 10 to 12,000 members. They've always got roughly 10,000 people at every game. So fair play to them, and hopefully the F3 derby can start bringing back some memories of old, Jordan.
It'd be good, and I think a reason that they're doing so well with crowds is they're not getting blown out of the water every game. Like, I mean, they've only won 1 in their first 7, but they've only lost 3. And if you compare that to a lot of the past few seasons, anyway, they've started poorly, and there's been a long way back for them in Central Coast, especially Central Coast, because they've been even worse. Just trying to get back into the league and make a season of it. But this season, they're sitting just a point outside the top 6, so there's certainly something to play for, and it's a pretty, like, it's, I feel like the top 5, those top 5 teams are not going to change, and they're going to be the top 5 at the end of the season, but that 6th spot on the table is certainly up for grabs, and any one of those teams, except maybe Adelaide, unless they can turn their season around quick, would, in my opinion, be able to make a play for that finals position at the end of the season. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, injuries and January signings and stuff like that can play a part. But, I mean, and it is still early days, just 7 games in, but we'll see. And that is all for this week. I wouldn't say it's a short one because we still went out a little bit in depth more because we had one less game to talk about. Obviously, the Victory versus Wellington game is postponed, so when that does be played, we'll go over that. Does be played.
Okay. When that is played.
Yep. So, onto the table. Sydney FC clearly out on top on 19 points. Just the one dropped point, or one dropped game this season where they did draw on the weekend. They have 19 points from the seven games. Melbourne City in second on 13 points. Brisbane in third on 12. Perth in fourth on 11. Melbourne victory, still with that game in hand, in fifth. A win against Wellington, if they played, could have put them all the way up into second position. Western Sydney in sixth. Newcastle in seventh. Wellington, as we said, have that one less game in eighth. Central Coast in ninth. And Adelaide United, still without a win, in last position. But knowing the class of Adelaide, they're starting to show a few signs, so maybe they'll get a win. Maybe not this week because they have Sydney, but the week after, potentially. On to the key statistics, and we have the top goal scorers so far this season. Bruno Fornaroli and Andy Keogh out in front with 6 goals. A fair few players on 4. We've got Ninkovic, Marco Rojas, Besar Berisha, Brendan Santelab, Roy Krishna, our mate, the Fiji Monkey, and Alex Brosk. All on 4. In the assist department, Marco Rojas leads all comers with 4, and we have 3 to Ninkovic, Mitch Nichols, Matt Simon, of all players, Fernando Brandan, Andrew Nabu, who's having a very good season, and Bruce Kamau, also another having a fantastic season. All have 3 assists so far this season. We didn't get to see our mate Roy Krishna, the Fiji Monkey, flying this week because of the postponed game, but he will surely be back this weekend in the yellow and black. So, yeah, that was black. I like that. We have a fairly intriguing discussion point. The player of the season. Oh, we do. Shit, I forgot because I'm retarded. I'm kidding, I'm not. Jake, who's your one vote going through this week?
My one vote for this week goes to Andy Keogh because he's always a nuisance for Perth Glory, and although one goal should have been taken off him, he did score a double as well, which is pretty solid. And I think this is probably his first vote so far this year, and he's on 6 goals, so fair play to him.
Yeah, not bad. Not a bad shout. That my one vote this week is going to Devante Klut from Newcastle Jets. I thought his work rate was pretty average, but on the ball he was pretty exceptional. And there's been shouts for him to start for Newcastle every week. He's that type of player who's got a lot of promising potential on him. He's just always sort of struggled to cement a position in the team. And hopefully he can after a performance like that for Newcastle. Jake, who's your number two going to?
My number two this week is Paul Izzo. I think he's been class so far for Central Coast this year. I think I said to you yesterday that I think he's probably staking his claim to be up there and the better goalkeepers in the A-League at the moment. He definitely saved a point for Mariners this week, and yeah, he gets my 2 points, Jordan.
He is definitely up there at the moment, in terms of form especially. Maybe not actual class, but he's young. He's still low 20s, I think. He may even be like 20 years old, 21, not too sure to be honest, but he's certainly around the mark. He's
definitely not old.
No, he's not. My 2 votes this week are going to your mate Andy Keogh for scoring twice, and he's been the standout goal scorer for the weekend. His first goal was controversial. His second goal was not controversial, and he, yeah, like we said, he scored six goals this season.
Having a stinker.
He's got 6 goals this season. He's only picked up his first votes now, so he gets my 2. Jake, who is your BOG for the week?
I'm going to go a bit older here in the goalkeeper classes. 14 years older than Paul Izzo, Michael Theo. He gets my 3 points. He probably the best game that I've seen him play in a fair few years. He was always a class keeper at Victory when I was watching him, and he's been a class keeper for Brisbane as well. And it was probably probably the best game I've seen him play in a long time. So he gets my 3 votes.
He's also getting my 3 votes. I was, he was something else, wasn't he? He was saving absolutely everything, and even the ones that they thought he didn't save, he did. So he was phenomenal, especially his one-on-one positioning and saves were just fantastic. He wasn't like making any acrobatic saves, top corners or anything, but he just did everything he could to stop Melbourne City and he did. So get around him. He's currently equal top of the fucking fantasy. I mean, not fantasy, the player of the season. So he's done pretty well here. Just a slight look through the top three. No, we won't go any more than the top three. Ninkovic and Michael Theo sitting on six after both scoring perfect threes in consecutive weeks. Whereas our Fijian monkey, Roy Krishna, sits in third position on five. So that's our player of the season so far. We've had plenty of different players polling that, to say the least. I'm looking down the list. We have about 12 or 13 players who have polled. So it's good. It's not like the normal players aren't just polling, you know, the four Nerolis or the Berisha or the Rojas aren't polling every week. They've only polled in like one round, which was the first time we did. So good to see, Jake. Fantastic to see.
It is.
But now we can move on to our discussion point because I stuffed up and went a little bit early before. But the big talking point.
You're a bit excited there, Jordan.
I am a little bit excited to hear your opinion, Jake. The big talking point, arguably, of the A-League season and been surrounding the A-League for a while now, is the A-League expansion. There's 10 teams in the league currently. There probably does need to be more. I think it's been confirmed that the expansion is a definite thing. It's certainly going to happen. Just to who and to when is the just the main question at the moment. And that's what we'll be discussing today and the pros and cons and everything to do with A-League expansion. Jake, I would like to hear straight off the bat, if there was to be, let's say, two teams that the A-League is expanded by, who would it be and why?
Two teams. Well, I've got eight.
I don't got, you've got eight. Well, tell me your eight teams and tell me which two do you reckon is the most feasible.
My eight teams are Wollongong, South Melbourne, Geelong, Tasmania, a Brisbane, Ipswich or Gold Coast team, Adelaide, Dandenong and North Queensland. The two teams I would like to come in as soon as possible. Wollongong and Geelong. Wollongong, because it's a massive football area. It's proven with the crowds they get. They get the highest crowds, one absolute mile in their state league. And if they were to get an A-League team, I think they could easily quite easily consistently get 10,000 to every game plus, which obviously would be another good addition to the A-League, because I feel like as long as teams are getting 10,000 plus in the A-League every single week, that's perfectly fine with me. And yeah, I think it's a big football area. I think it could attract a lot of fans, a lot of support, and a lot of decent players too. They've got a decent stadium there already ready built for them, like, because there's rugby there and they've got their own team there already. So I don't see why not, really. It's another hour away from Sydney, so it's not like there's another Sydney team sitting. Like I know they wanted last season or something to bring in a Cronulla team or something like that. But this is another, like, this is, there's Central Coast an hour north of Sydney. And now bring a team an hour south of Sydney, why not? And I'd bring in Geelong. This is probably the Geelong bias in me because I'm a Geelong boy. But, yeah, I just think that it's the perfect place for them. There's the, for a team, it's an hour, another hour away from Melbourne. I feel like South Melbourne would be a good addition to the A-League, but I feel like that's just another team in the city of Melbourne. I've always said from day one, I don't think Melbourne City or Melbourne Heart should have been made. I think they should have first established a team in Geelong instead of another team in Melbourne. But I feel like in Geelong, like I said with Wollongong, I know there's not a ready-built stadium for them right now, but and I think I'd probably rather them not play at Simmons Stadium because I don't like oval stadiums for football. But I feel like if they had 2 to 3 seasons at Simmons Stadium and they got consistently roughly 15,000 fans to every single game, I feel like there's no way that they wouldn't, that the government or the FFA itself wouldn't fund building a football stadium for them in Geelong. There's plenty of spots in Geelong to build a stadium. So if they could build a 20,000-seat stadium or something in Geelong, I think that's absolutely perfect. So I think Geelong, because it's a big sporting city. They've got there's a massive population in Geelong, just like Wollongong as well. And I feel like both teams could easily bring 10,000-15,000 people every single week, 10,000 plus members for the season as well, and there's nothing bad about that in the slightest. What are your thoughts, Jordan?
I've been trying to figure out just exactly how many supporters they've gotten in the games at Wollongong. Not in the NPL, like whenever they've played an A-League fixture there. I just don't even know what the stadium's called, to be honest. So,
Wynn Stadium. They usually get like 15,000, 10,000 to 15,000 every time it's down there.
So realistically, like you're staring at, you said 15,000, was it, did you say? For A-League games. And they're not even representing their state. So realistically, if that was a team representing their state, I feel like they'd get way more than that there. So for me, Wollongong is the obvious choice. It's the first team that needs to come in because, and I'm going to, the other team I'm going to say now, because I'm going to link them in together. The other team I want is Tasmania. Now, I'm staring at this thinking, and I don't like it because I'm a supporter of both sports, but the A-League is competing with the AFL in regards to fans because although they play at different times of the year, it's often an AFL versus A-League battle. It always has been. The media doesn't help. A lot of supporters are not fans of both, albeit I'm a massive supporter of both, and I know you are, and a lot of people we know love both, you know, both codes of football in Australia. A lot of the time, it's based off, you know, you can't like both. And I just don't know. I hate it. But if they were to implement a team in Canberra, in Wollongong, an already well-supported football part of Australia, they've already beaten the AFL in that regard. So putting a sports team, a professional sports team in that environment. And they've already got, I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100%, they've already got a W League team in Canberra.
Yeah, that's that. I've just realised just then that I've taken Dandenong out of that eight and put Canberra in. I completely forgot about Canberra.
So realistically, Canberra is set to host a professional men's team.
Yeah, they've got a stadium as well, a 25,000 seat stadium.
So, yeah, so it's in my opinion, they'd be the easy choice. And you might think the second easy choice, South Melbourne. You know, they've already got a stadium there. They're already playing in the NPL there. An old NSL team, they've got a big supporter base, and I completely agree with them joining the A-League. I feel like they're more not immediate, although they definitely could do it immediately. I feel like not ahead of Tasmania, who I think there's not one professional sporting team apart from cricket, and maybe NRL. I'm not 100%.
No, there's not,
Or maybe NBL, basketball, maybe. I'm not even sure.
No, I'm pretty sure it's just cricket.
And let's be honest, how many people are going to get to a state cricket game? Not many. And with the weather not being the best down there, I mean, you know, whatever. But if they were to introduce an A-League team before an AFL team in Tasmania, because there is heaps of talk about an AFL team in Tasmania. There has been for years. Everyone wants an AFL team in Tasmania. They host Hawthorn and North Melbourne, go down there and host games. And they get decent crowds there for AFL. So it's a no-brainer for AFL to introduce a Tasmania team. But if A-League was to beat AFL, I feel like that's a massive step in terms of crowd attendances at A-League games in Tasmania. It would boost the crowd average throughout the season by, I would hope, a substantial margin. It gives the Tasmanians something to support on the national stage competition of men's professional sport. And I don't know if they've got any decent stadiums down there, but they've got, I'm sure they would have some sort of stadium they could host down there.
See, that's the weird thing with Tasmania, is they don't have a purpose-built football stadium. They only have the two stadiums that, well, there's one in Launceston where Hawthorn play, and there's one in Hobart where the cricket's played and where North Melbourne play. And that also brings another question into it with Tasmania, is where do you play it? Do you play it in Launceston or do you play it in Hobart? I know Hobart is the capital of Tasmania, but I lived in Tasmania for 1.5 or so years. And I, from experiences, I felt like Launceston was more of a football heartland to Tasmania than what Hobart was.
Except Hobart's probably the only viable option in regards to a stadium built right now. And even then, you're looking at Blundstone Arena would probably be the only feasible stadium. And honestly, like, I don't really see that hosting a football game.
Yeah, well, Victory have had games taken to Tasmania before. Victory had a game against Gold Coast and a game against Central Coast 2 years apart, about 3 years ago, four seasons ago. And they got roughly 10,000 to both end games, which is obviously decent. And who knows, like obviously a lot of those would have been Victory supporters and stuff, but who knows how many people of that were from Tasmania who are so keen for a Tasmania team. Yep. So, but it just, it's also an awkward one because Launceston and Hobart are obviously the two biggest cities in Tasmania, but they're 2 hours apart from each other.
Mm.
And there's going to be pissed off people. If there's an A-League team that's bought into Hobart, there's going to be a lot of pissed off people in Launceston. If there's an A-League team bought into Launceston, there's going to be a lot of people pissed off in Hobart. So I don't know what they could do about that. I don't know if they could play a Tasmanian team and have 8 games in Hobart, 7 games in Launceston or something like that to keep both happy. I think that's probably a smart option, but at the same time, the FFA, I know, would not fund 2 purpose-built football stadiums in 2 different cities. I don't think, anyway. The Aurora Stadium in Launceston, I think, can host football because the stands are really high there. Like, there's no real, like, there's a few, but the stands there go up. They don't, like, you don't start on ground level. So, like, in some of the stands, you don't have ground level stands. Like, you have to walk up the stand to actually get to your seat.
Mm.
So I think Launceston's decent for that. Like, they've already got the stadium, I think. Like, I think they could play football out of that stadium. But I feel like if you were going to bring in a Tasmanian team for Hobart, I think you would need to build a football purpose stadium. And it's not like they have to make it massive,
no,
to be honest. Like, they could build a 15,000 to 20,000 seat stadium, similar to Central Coast Stadium.
Mm. It doesn't need It doesn't need to be a 50,000 seat stadium.
Exactly, because that could be long term. Like, the thing with Tasmania is no one knows, because we've just established, there's only cricket there. No one knows how the Tasmanian community is going to react to a professional sporting team in the AFL or A League. Nobody knows because nobody's tried it.
Mm.
AFL have tested it, obviously, with taking games down there, and it's a success because Launceston always sells out for Hawthorn, and I'm pretty sure Hobart sells out basically every time for North Melbourne as well.
Yeah.
So, obviously, that's going to be a decent success if AFL bring in Tasmania team, and I think A-League should jump on it too. But the awkward situation with this is, I feel like there's 5 ready-made teams for the A-League right now. Wollongong, South Melbourne, Geelong, Tasmania, and Canberra. They could all get an A-League license right now, and I think that'd be a great success.
Yeah, and that's the risk as well. Like, A-League have to look at it, the risk and reward of Tasmania could be far greater than any of those teams.
Mm, exactly. And if that doesn't work, then you bring it back down to 14 teams, which I wanted to work because I hate seeing teams fold in the A-League. But at the same time, I hate having an odd number of teams. So then who do you bring in out of a second Brisbane team, maybe, or a second Adelaide team? I don't think. But you could bring back North Queensland. The only reason why North Queensland folded was because of the owners and stuff like that. It wasn't because of crowds, because they were getting, like, roughly 8,000 to 10,000 people there every week.
Mm. Well, the exposure to the A-League as well. You look at that, North Queensland getting 8 to 10 each week. I feel like now, considering that the average crowds for a season is the highest since the second season in the A-League this season, it's an average of 500 extra than it was back then. And it's well in advance, over 2,000 more than what it was, you know, for the last few seasons. So, albeit it's early, and probably easier in regards to the crowds, how high they're at the moment compared to the rest of the season. We'll see what happens with that. But I feel like now, with the exposure of the A-League having grown substantially since North Queensland were in the competition, I feel like they'd get, you know, they could be hitting, you know, 12, 13 a week, which is pretty good.
Well, I think the FFA just need to take a risk, because we're in season 12 at the moment, and I said to my dad a few days ago that I want from season, obviously I have nothing to do with it, I can't bring a team into the A-League, but hopefully by season 18, there'll be 16 teams in the A-League.
Mm.
Bring in two teams next year, give them 2 years to, hopefully only one, but give them 2 years to adapt, and then bring in another two. Give them 2 years to adapt, then bring in another two. Hopefully we don't have to wait that long. If I could, I'd bring in 16 right now.
Mm.
But because the biggest thing for football in Australia right now is expansion. If you expand the A-League and it's a success, you're going to get so many rewards from it. That's going to reward the Socceroos, because there's going to be so many teams that's going to have so many young Australian players, because there's going to be so many players that are going to need to spread through the A-League. So it's going to reward the Socceroos, because there's going to be so many young players coming through. It's going to reward the FFA. It's going to reward football in Australia, because right now we're averaging roughly like 60,000 people a week. And then if there's eight games a week played, you'd think we'd probably end up getting about 100,000 a week. So it'll reward the SSA, reward football in Australia. It'll be more games to watch. Hopefully they could get a free-to-air deal or something like that.
That's the biggest thing, I reckon.
Exactly. Imagine if we had eight games a week in the A-League played, and then there was like three games. There was a game on Friday, a game on Saturday, and a game on Sunday played on free-to-air.
Yeah, like a Channel 7 or a Channel 10 or something like that. Exactly. They need to buy into it, I reckon.
Because there's so much opportunities, and we're sitting here doing nothing about it. Wanderers, obviously, Wanderers were the last team that were brought into the A-League 4 years ago, I think it was, or three, yeah, 4 years ago. I think this is their fifth season, and we've done nothing since. And look at the Wanderers. They've come in, they've won the Asian Champions League, they've been in three grand finals, and they've got the second biggest fan base in the A-League.
Yeah, and if that doesn't indicate to the FFA that they bringing in more teams is going to help, then I don't know what would. Because arguably, Western Sydney, I don't want to do anything controversial, but they're the only team that's won the Asian Champions League. So you could arguably say they're the most successful, they've got the most prestigious honour out of any A-League team, and they've been here for the shortest amount of time.
Definitely.
So
let's go over the teams that I've got written down, and we'll say our pros and cons on every single team. What are your thoughts, Jordan?
I rate it. You can.
We'll start with Wollongong.
I want to hear yours for what's first.
The pros of Wollongong, like we've said, it's a football city. Basically, they've got so many. It reminds me of Newcastle, really, because they've got it built there, ready for them. There's a lot of juniors playing a lot of football. If you look on New South Wales statistics, Wollongong and Newcastle are two of the biggest football cities apart from anywhere in Western Sydney or Sydney in New South Wales. So there's no reason why they shouldn't have it. The only cons, I think, could be I don't really rate. But I've been to Wing Stadium, and it's not a fantastic stadium. Like it can play football there, obviously. It's like 15,000 to 20,000 people, but there's a few issues with the stadium. Like, it's not like top quality in the way of like the seating has like mold on and all that shit, but that can easily be fixed anyway. Yeah. So that's the only con that I can think of, really.
Well, the Wollongong Wolves played in the FFA Cup against Sydney FC and got 8,000 to the game. If Wollongong's an A-League team, does that rise? Or does the occasion mean that 8,000 is the max they're going to get?
No. When you look at it into that perspective, I think the FFA Cup's been a great success for the A-League, for A-League teams and for Australian football and for the FFA. But the crowds haven't been overly fantastic for it.
Mm.
When you think about it, like Victory are the biggest club in the country, and they're only getting like 10,000 or so to their home games. So, and that could be a con. Like, you never know. They might only have them 8,000 fans. You never know, but you won't know until you full on try it. But you've got to think about it realistically. There's the 8,000 people on a weekday is not bad. So,
yeah, if they play that game on a Saturday night, you're going to get, I reckon you'd push, 11,000, 12,000.
Yeah, well, they played against Newcastle, I think. Well, they didn't play against Newcastle, but Sydney played against Newcastle a few years ago in pre-season there, and that got 10,000 people.
In a pre-season game.
So there's people there. They've got, it's a football mad place, I reckon. So I reckon there's no reason why there shouldn't be a team there. And it's a very ethnic place, Wollongong. There's a lot of Greek and a lot of Macedonian people there. So they'll all buy into football as well. Mm. So I don't see why. I can't really think of many cons for a Wollongong team. South Melbourne, Jordan, your old club.
My old club. Jake, personally, I would love to see South Melbourne in the A-League. I think out of any club or any location that's bid for an A-League license, I feel like South Melbourne is up there probably the most ready because their facilities are top class, their pitch is class, their stadium, in my opinion, I'm mixed on.
Yeah, same.
Because I like the stadium, but I'm looking at the capacity and thinking, you're only going to get like 12,000 there, max. And for me, I think the stadium probably needs an expansion. I think the running track hinders the experience. But in saying that, I can't see them not getting a full capacity crowd to Lakeside Stadium. I was listening to a podcast. I'm not going to name which one for our viewing purposes. But they were talking to the president, I think it was, of South Melbourne, and said that they were happy to play their games against Victory and City as a home game at Amy Park. So for me, I feel like a game at Amy Park between Victory and City, or even Etihad Stadium, maybe not quite Etihad Stadium, but Amy Park would attract a full capacity against South Melbourne. And I reckon that would be the same against Melbourne City. I actually reckon they'd be able to get a full capacity game between South 100%. Melbourne and Melbourne City. So, in my opinion, because South Melbourne's already got the same on social media in terms of followers and stuff as like a Newcastle Jets or a Central Coast, because they are the most successful Australian club. So in that regards, I don't think they're going to steal any supporters away from Victory or City. I feel like they might even, it'll just help in regards to more derbies. So South Melbourne will have, that's already going to be a derby with Melbourne City and Melbourne Victory. It just adds another Melbourne derby. So that's not a bad thing. It's really good because Melbourne is so hotly contested with AFL that another A-League team would be good in regards to the numbers. And I don't know, I just think it would be very, very good for South Melbourne to be in the league. In terms of cons, like I said, the stadium and their quality of players right now isn't good enough for that. But obviously, if they become an A-League team, they'll attract better players. And also just their youth setup, I think. They've got a better youth setup than A-League teams do. So, so in that regard, I think they'd definitely be a ready-made team for the A-League, Jake.
Yeah, well, I agree with you on basically everything you said. You obviously know the facilities and everything like that a lot better than what I do because I've only ever been to Lakeside Stadium once and you've played there, I'm pretty sure, a fair few times.
Yeah.
Yeah, you obviously know the facilities a bit more. I think the only con I can think of for South Melbourne is the stadium. There's nothing wrong with the location of the stadium, but I feel like I said with the Tasmania situation, the oval stadiums just don't work for me. And there's nothing wrong with the stadium in a sense, like, the stands are nice and everything like that. And 12,000 people to every game, a sold out stadium. But basically, if they played an A-League team there right now, and they sold every game out, 12,000 people, the FFA wouldn't mind that, because that's 12,000 people at every single game, and it's a sellout.
Yeah.
So it's not bad. Like, it'll look good and everything like that. But at the same time, do you think, you obviously know Lakeside a lot more than me, do you think there's a chance that they could build that stand all the way around the stadium?
Yeah, see, that's the one thing I'm not sure on, because I'm not 100% on who actually owns the stadium. I have a slight feeling that South Melbourne actually own the stadium now. I'm not sure. I know it was owned, or you know, half owned by the Victorian Athletics Group or something like that. So they've got part ownership with that. The problem, I don't think Victorian Athletics would have a problem with building the stand around the stadium. I think the problem for me is I've always had a problem with athletics tracks around stadiums, and we've seen it. Shit. We've seen it in Europe though. In Italy, I think they've got a professional
Olympic
team
Park. Around. Victory played out of Olympic Park for two seasons. Yeah. For a season and a half. Like, there was that athletics track around that too. So, and it just didn't work. Like, yeah. South Melbourne could try and copy and paste what Victory did with Olympic Park and then build up. They've got, so they, because Victory were getting 15,000 people to every game, then they had to move out to Etihad Stadium. South Melbourne could try and do similar and build up and sell out every single game for a season or two in a 12,000 seat stadium. And then that might push them to expand the stadium. That might push them to relocate, potentially.
Oh, if they sold out every single game at Lakeside Stadium, they would 100% expand the stadium. They would make they would 100% make a way for it to expand the stadium.
I think they could. I honestly think if South Melbourne came in next year, they would sell out every single game. They'd get 12,000 people to every single game. And 100%. Then if they took their home games against Victory and Sydney to Amy Park, that'd also build up their attendance. And then they'd get an average of 15,000 to 16,000 sitting on their club, which is fantastic for an A-League team.
Yeah, and I feel like if during developments of the stadium, they could move to Amy Park and get a substantial number at Amy Park as well. But obviously, they'd prefer it to have a bigger stadium at Lakeside. And if they could improve that, if they built a stand, say the same size of what they've got now, around the whole stadium, they're looking at a 20 to 25,000 seat stadium.
Exactly.
And I reckon they'd get about 20,000 at least pretty much every home game.
Yeah, they're a big club, and I think that they're bound to be in the A-League eventually, so they may as well try and jump on it right now.
Exactly right.
Because South Melbourne are too... I don't know the NPL all that well. You obviously do, but I feel like South Melbourne are too big to be in the NPL.
Yes, and yeah, I feel like they're probably the team that gets the most... Well, they are the team that gets the most crowd attendance. But realistically, they're the only ones staying in it, playing in a good enough stadium, and
exactly.
It brings supporters. We've been on South Melbourne for a while, and I think we both agree that them in the A-League would be a good thing.
we'll move on
to a few more teams, because we're pushing the 54-minute mark here, but we can move on. We can touch a few teams up. We'll give some brief assessments, because teams like Dandenong, let's be honest, are fucking...
We've already touched on Geelong and Tasmania, so I don't think we really need to touch on them too much. We both think they should be in the A-League to our own accord. We've already touched on both of them, so I don't think we need to go into detail about them anymore. Brisbane. I've got down here Brisbane, Ipswich / Gold Coast, because there's Brisbane... Though I think they do need a second team to create a bit of a rivalry with the Brisbane Roar. But I feel like they should build a team out in the Ipswich sort of area, which is about half an hour from Brisbane, because that is a massive football area. It's the second biggest football area in the Brisbane region. I think that'd be a perfect situation for the A-League, because it's out of Brisbane, so it's not like they're sitting in Brisbane and they also have to play out of Suncorp Stadium. There's also the Brisbane Strikers, which you could bring into the A-League. But I can't think of anything other than pros for this also. Like, the cons could be the crowd situation as well. Like, we may not get too many crowds because Brisbane Roar do only have roughly 5,000 members at the moment, but they're still getting 15 to 20,000 people to every single game anyway. Yeah. So I don't think Gold Coast at the moment. I think Gold Coast could be a long-term situation, but I don't think Gold Coast at the moment. But I feel like Ipswich could be a good area to bring in a team, Jordan.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think Ipswich is another, almost one that's very similar to Western Sydney in that it's slightly outside of, Western Sydney, slightly outside of the actual Sydney part of Sydney. Well, you know what I mean. But it's like Ipswich is one of the bigger football communities in that city.
Yeah.
So, definitely. In regards, if they were to have one in Ipswich, I feel like you could have the same benefits as what Western Sydney brought to the league.
Exactly.
Put them in a stadium that's tight. I don't know what stadiums are out in Ipswich, but put them in a stadium that's not the biggest capacity, say like a 15,000 seat stadium, and make it a tight, fans close to the pitch and stuff like that. I feel like it could benefit huge for the A-League. Totally agree with Ipswich.
Yeah, it'd be a good addition to the A-League long-term, potentially. I've got down here Adelaide. Adelaide was also it's also a similar situation to Brisbane, where I think they need a second Adelaide team to create a bit of a rivalry there. But at the same time, Adelaide's also different to Brisbane because Adelaide's not that big of a city. So yeah, I don't know about that.
I'm actually more for Adelaide having the single team than anything.
Yeah. The only reason why I think Adelaide could potentially get a second team is to create a bit of a rivalry. But other than that, I don't feel like there should be another Adelaide team.
Well, the thing is, I look at AFL now, and I see the introduction of Port Adelaide, I don't know how long, 20 years ago, or 25 years ago. And you look at how far the AFL's come in the Adelaide, you know, the showdown in Adelaide between Port Adelaide and Adelaide is immense. Like, that's a massive game. Like,
that both teams get like 50,000 of both their games anyway.
Exactly. Regardless of who they host. So, Adelaide United have a pretty strong support base and they get pretty good crowds. And they've just won the A-League last season, obviously having a very bad season this season, but they're still getting strong crowds regardless of how they're going. I reckon another Adelaide team could benefit in regards to a definite full capacity between the two Adelaide teams. They obviously always get full capacity or close to against Melbourne Victory. And they probably, I don't know if they've done it against anyone else, but they probably get, you know, good crowds against teams like Sydney and those sorts. So, and Western Sydney as well. Obviously, they've probably got some sort of rivalry now after beating them in the final last year, or this year, but last season.
Yeah.
So Adelaide crowds are very good. And I think another Adelaide team, maybe not yet, but I think in the future could definitely be positive.
We'll put a line through Dandenong. We've already touched on Canberra.
I don't want to sound rude because I play for a team that's supporting the cause and pretty much running the Dandenong bid, but it's not a good idea. It will go down in flames, Jake.
We've already touched on Canberra, and the last team we are left with, the last area we are left with is North Queensland, which has already been in the A-League before, but I feel like they deserve another run. They've got North Queensland Cowboys in the NRL. They've already got a built stadium ready for them in the middle of Townsville, and that stadium is going to be expanded as well due to the success from the North Queensland Cowboys in the NRL. I feel like they can only reap rewards from that as well. It's a reasonably good area for a team. I feel like they could get roughly 10,000 members and get roughly 10,000 people to every game. So I feel like Townsville and North Queensland is a very good area for a team. It could also create a bit of a rivalry with Brisbane team and another Ipswich team, and the Ipswich team, if the Ipswich team ever does come in. So I feel like I can only really think of pros for the North Queensland team. The only cons is the fact that it went down in flames last time, that there was a North Queensland team, but that was out of anyone's realistic control. That wasn't because of crowds or anything like that. That was more because of performances on the pitch and the way the club was being run. Jordan?
Well, yeah, we mentioned slightly before how the exposure between of the A-League between now and the last time they were in the league has grown substantially. And the crowds you mentioned, they'll get about 8,000 to 10,000 people at North Queensland games. So, like I said earlier, I think the crowd average per game there will rise, which is always a good thing. And like we said, the performances weren't the worst. They weren't great, but they weren't the worst. And they probably could benefit from a team up there. I do want to just quickly point out another potential location for a team. I want to hear your opinion, because I'm not sure if they're put in a bid or anything like that. But would it be beneficial to have another team in Western Australia?
So I was going to write them down. Depends. Like, honestly, Perth are a good team, and Perth get good fans and stuff. But I feel like we're just going to get that gauge of consistency, because a few years ago, Perth were only getting crowds of roughly like 5,000. So I feel like if Perth keep on going with how they're going in the way of crowds, and they keep getting over 10,000 people to games, then yes. But I don't think... But I think that's more a long-term thing than a short-term.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I was gonna start mentioning the promotion relegation, but I'm like, you know what? We'll probably be here for another hour. So
the A League 2 hour. We'll do that next week.
The A League 2 hour. Yeah, next week. For those still listening, definite promotion relegation talk. And we will expand on our talk of the expansion of talk of this week. I'm just getting muddled for words sometimes. Just so many words going through my head. I love it. But we will just move on quickly to the preview for this week. Jake, while we're still here. week 8 of the A-League kicks off on Thursday this week. We have the all-important early Thursday game. Central Coast Mariners host Perth Glory. Not the most riveting games, I'll be honest. But nonetheless, hopefully a good game. Central Coast, fresh off a draw. Sitting ninth position on the table. Perth performing very well in fourth position. They were back on the winners list this week against a gallant Adelaide United side. In my opinion, I actually think this one's going to be a draw. But Perth, if anyone is going to win, Perth's going to win. This has the makings of quite a high-scoring game, but Perth haven't played over in Central Coast since October 2015, where they lost to Central Coast. And Central Coast often have the more history at home of beating Perth. So, tough game for Central Coast, tough game for Perth as well. I think it'll be an interesting game.
Like you said, Central Coast is coming off the back of a draw against Newcastle. I think they're going to have Jack Spatty and Scott Galloway back for this game. I'm not 100% sure, but I agree with you. I think this is going to be a draw. I feel like we touched on a few weeks ago with the travel for Perth, especially on a Thursday. I feel like this may end in a draw, Jordan.
Yeah, just a six-day break for Perth, and it's just a hard... You know, travel. I'm not sure how long it takes for them to get to Blue Tongue Stadium, but I can't imagine it being a short trip. but I agree, a draw is probably the likely result. Moving on to Friday night, this is going to be a quite interesting game at Spotless Stadium. Western Sydney Wanderers host the Brisbane Roar. Two teams who drew last week. Western Sydney sitting in sixth position. Just the one win, though, this season. So... not the most convincing. Brisbane, fresh off a draw against Sydney, they would be have their tails up. But as we said, I think it was two podcasts ago, Brisbane Roar's travels, despite a short trip to Sydney, they haven't been very good on the road. And I think this might come back to bite them in the arse. They might actually go down here.
I'm just looking at Western Sydney, and they've played seven games and drawn four. And Brisbane have played seven games and drawn three, so I'm going to leave them with a draw here, because we did touch on Brisbane's travels and how they struggle away from home. But Western Sydney aren't too convincing at the moment, so I'm just going to stick on a draw at the moment, Jordan.
In the last four games between these two sides, since August of 2015. Western Sydney have won 2, Brisbane have won 2. This game in April was a 9-goal thriller. So it did go to extra time for some reason. I think this might have been a finals game, if I'm not mistaken. It was actually, it was. I remember this game. Brisbane went 3-0 up and Perth, Western Sydney came back and won.
Yeah, they did.
They went 4-3 up before Brisbane scored the...
Lucky choice.
Scored in the 81st minute before Vidicic won it for the Western Sydney. Arguably one of the games of the A-League history. Just a crazy game.
Yeah.
Previous to that, so that was a 9-goal thriller. Previous to that, you had 5 goals in the game back in March, 3 goals back in December last year, and 4 goals back in October last year. So this game has the makings for goals.
Bet365's better the week.
So I'm actually going to say this game is over 3.5 goals, Jake. I think this is going to be
no draw.
Yeah. So if you're listening, do not put that bet on. Do under 3.5, and you've got your yourself a win. I look at this game though. I don't actually think goals, but history does suggest that it's going to be quite a high scoring game, Jake. So that's why I'm leaning for my bet365 bet of the week this week. Is over 3.5 goals, paying 2.92. So that's decent odds.
Well,
if you want to be a bit safer, I would go over 2.5, but paying just the reasonable 1.74. So your choice. Bet responsibly, but I think it might. If this is a 2-2 draw, then get around me. moving on to the next game of the week, Jake. And this one's on Saturday. And it is Melbourne Victory hosting the Newcastle Jets. I think this is going to be quite an easy win for Victory. They've had the extra week off. Plus, they haven't had to travel to New Zealand. Newcastle will have to travel down to Victoria. Even though it's not a big travel, it's still a travel. And in my opinion, Victory are going to win quite convincingly.
Yeah, I can't really look past the Victory win. I don't want to get too arrogant, but I think we will put on a bit of a clinic here. We've scored 9 goals in our last 2 home games. Can't look past a Victory win. Newcastle usually are our bogey team, though, even at home as well, because I don't know why, but they just always decide to turn up against us. But yeah, I can't really look past us beating them, but at the same time, Newcastle are a decent team, so it won't be simple. Possibly. Hopefully it is, but don't think it will be.
Well, if you like Victory, don't want to put another bet in, but I mean, the same bet as before. If you like them to absolutely destroy Newcastle, over 3.5 is paying 2.62. But if you opt for just under 3.5 and you want Victory to score 3 goals, exactly 3 goals, they are paying 4.50. Which isn't a bad odd, to be honest. I don't mind that. The Sydney Knight game. And I reckon this is going to be a beautiful game. Sydney FC at home to Adelaide United. I actually think this is going to be the game of the round, Jake, because I think Adelaide are going to come out firing and wanting to prove themselves after a dismal start to the season. Sydney FC got their first dropped points of the season on the weekend, drawing to Brisbane while Adelaide lost again and still without a win. But they aren't as bad as their position does say, in my opinion. And we saw last season how they fell down the pack early and came back to win the league. So it could just be a thing with them starting the season poorly, even though they've started very, very poorly this season. I think Sydney will win, but I think this is going to be a very good game, Jack.
I think we're going to go left field here. I don't know what, but I'm going to say Adelaide's going to win. I just feel like it's just one of those situations where Sydney are going to start getting a bit complacent with where they are on the ladder. And Adelaide are going to come out with a bit of fire in their belly. I think they're going to get 3 points.
That'd be good. That'd be very good for the A-League, I reckon. To tighten up the season. Let's hope that happens. Moving on to the last game on Sunday. Melbourne City hosts Wellington Phoenix. Wellington having the week off this week. Who knows if that'll help them against a team that is arguably one of the better attacking sides in the league. Melbourne City did draw on the weekend to a gallant Western Sydney outfit. Wellington obviously had the week off, but they are on a 2-win streak, Wellington Phoenix, so you can't rule them out going for a third. Melbourne City notoriously have the better against Wellington Phoenix in this fixture. But it'll be interesting to see how this one goes, Jake.
Yeah, I think City will win. They're obviously the better team, but at the same time, you know what? Wellington could pull up. They've got a solid front three and solid midfield as well, so you never know. But at the same time, if City come out firing, they will definitely put Wellington to the sword, Jordan.
Mm, mm. Yeah, well, that's all we've got time for today, Jake. So it's been an A-League hour and 10 minutes, which is always nice and dandy. we tend to go slightly over or slightly under. We never really hit the hour mark, do we? but that's all right. It's good to be back after our extra special episode last week with our super special guest. but yeah, we'll be back on Friday with the EPL podcast, which is always fun to do. And we'll be back on Tuesday next week with our A-League Hour again. We hope you enjoyed the episode. If you're not on Facebook or on our page on Facebook, please follow us or like our page, sorry, at JJ's Football Fix. Same with Audio Boom. Follow us on that to stay up to date with everything to do with JJ's Football Fix and be the first to listen to the episode each week or every episode that comes out, every week.
yep.
Yeah, really, really doing well here. But until Friday, we'll catch you. Bye.
Have a nice. I'm on top of the world, hey.